Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Cha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raganatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakans Vitam Cha Hey Krishna Karna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Hopesha Kopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchena Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishubhanu Sutta Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Panchakalpa Trubhyascha Kripa Sinubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prunitananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vatsadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hey Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya The subject matter is proper devotional consciousness, which is can be understood in many different ways, because if you have devotional consciousness, how could it not be proper, especially devotional consciousness for Krishna? So how can I interpret proper devotional consciousness? Well, for one thing, the attempt to develop devotional consciousness comes in different stages. At the beginning, we don't have devotional consciousness for Krishna. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, translated and commentary by Srila Prabhupada in the form of nectar devotion, from the very beginning explains about what's known as the Pratibhasha Sutra by Srila Rupa Goswami, which explains more or less the purpose of the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, or the nectar of devotion. All the other verses have to be seen in the light of that particular verse. And that verse is Anyabhilasita Shunya Jnana Karma Diravritam Anukulyena Krishnanu Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. There's ordinary devotional service, which we're trying to practice. That is, it's Krishna. It's for Krishna. The nature of the living entity is devotional, so we're always devotional. It's only a question of what we're devoted to. We may be devoted to this body, which generally everyone in the material world is devoted to their particular body. And as it is explained, griha ratanam, we may expand that conception of my body, and those people who are born or who are in the same family as me, I consider to be somewhat connected to my body, and therefore they're also worthy of service, and we expand it to society, to the nation, to all human beings, etc. But it's all based upon the Bali concept of life. And we're very expert at, well, some people are more expert than others, at serving the demands of their senses. In order to serve the demands of the senses nowadays, what you need primarily is money. If you have money, then you can go on the internet, even here in Belgium, and within some period of time, whatever you think is necessary to serve your senses will be delivered to you at your door. If you simply have that divine instrument of love called money. But that may be devotional to the body, but it has nothing to do with the soul or with the devotional consciousness of which the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu is talking about, because the center has to be for Krishna. It is said often Well, Prabhupada says the devotional service begins after liberation, after the Brahma-Bhuta stage. Brahma-Bhuta stage, prasanatma. Well, one is actually joyful. And why is one joyful? Because there's no more hankering, there's no more lamentation. And one can see that every living entity is actually a spiritual being within some material body, conducted by some modes of material nature. And therefore, one neither hates anyone nor loves anyone from the material point of view, because one sees that the center of everyone's existence is actually Krishna. In the material world, we're trying to get our friends, and we hate our enemies, because our friends can give us what we want, and our enemies take away what we're trying to get or have. Therefore, everything is relative. One moment, someone becomes my friend because they give me something, and the next moment, they become my enemy because they take something away. Therefore, in the Vedic culture, even your enemy comes to your door, you treat them very nicely. You treat them as if they're a friend. The idea is not to trick them, so when they turn their back, you stab them. No, the idea is that the Vedic culture is meant to ultimately make everyone our friend. But anyway, just like Dira, Dira, Sjana, Priyo, Priyakaro, that these six Goswamis, they didn't really discriminate between who's the ruffians, who the Dira, Adira, and who the Dira. For them, everyone was Krishna's servant, engaged in some particular way by one of either the internal or the external energy of Krishna. Therefore, they saw everyone equally capable of also chanting Hare Krishna and engaging in the Sankirtan movement. They didn't see people, well, here is a person, as Raghunath Das Goswami said, he was standing on the Jagannath Puri temple steps. Here is a person yesterday, he gave me a donation. He's a good person. I'll smile at him. Oh, here's that rotten, stingy priest who comes by every day, probably smoking ganja somewhere. Ganja somewhere. He won't give me a paisa. Therefore, he's actually a demon. So we look, that may be very gross, but generally we look at everything in this material world, whether it's going to satisfy my senses or not. As Murali Dapro used to say, when he was distributing books on the street in Germany, people would take a look at the book. They judge it not so much by the philosophical content that was possible to derive from the book, but they look at it and think, well, does this taste like strawberry or vanilla or chocolate? They'd look at the cover and see what it reminded them of a particular flavor, and if they liked that flavor, they might buy it by association. In the material world, we're judging everything according to whether it's going to gratify my senses or not. So liberation means to get free from that tendency, that conditioned nature. And the process of devotional service at the beginning is from beginning with faith to sadhu sangha. Because what in sadhu sangha, what are we doing? Machita machkata prana bodhi antash parashparam katayantashramam nityam tu shanti cha ramanti cha. The speaker and the listeners are trying to find out what is the process of devotional service, either that it becomes tu shanti or ramanti. Tu shanti means when we become free from our pains, basically lust, anger, greed, envy, madness, illusion. When we become free from those things, we feel a kind of relief. A little less affliction tomorrow. Because the material world means affliction. We don't want to do something, or maybe we want to do something, but actually this material nature is dictating to us. We know we shouldn't do it. Even an ordinary person knows he shouldn't eat too much or sleep too much or etc. But he's forced to do it by the modes of material nature. He knows he shouldn't be angry and envious and greedy, but he's forced to be that way by the impulse of the material nature. And without an alternative, without spiritual knowledge, he has no way of getting out of his entanglement. But when he can get out of the entanglement, when there's information, then the result is that he becomes a little free from the impulses arising from the material nature, and he feels a kind of relief. But Prahlad Maharaj says, Matirna Krishne Parataksatova Mito Bipadyeta Griha Ratanam. There are so many self-help books, there are so many different persons ready to give us information. Everyone is ready to advise us and direct us, from the television to the newspaper to the magazine, to our mother and father, to our best friend. Everyone has something to tell us. Whether they do it themselves is another thing. There's so much information how to get free from our problems. But the very people who are giving us all this information, they generally have so many problems. And one of their problems is that they give out false information to everyone. And they get entangled that way too. But the solution to all the problems is how to fix the mind upon Krishna. Therefore, the center has to be Krishna. Because bhayam dvitiya vineshatasya ishadapatasya vipariyo smriti. That the material world exists simply as a place to forget Krishna. It's an attempt to be happy without Krishna. And if we really want to be happy, if we understand that happiness is not in forgetfulness of Krishna, then Krishna has to be there as the center. But how can Krishna be there as a center? Therefore it is said, anushilanam. We have to serve Krishna under the direction, and Krishna is explained as either Krishna Vishnu or one of his expansions like Balaram or Vishnu or the Dham, for instance. Somehow or another we have to serve those things which are intimately connected to Krishna, because Krishna is the reservoir of pleasure. He's the source of all the internal energy. We want to be in the spiritual energy. Then, Mahatmanas Tumam Partha, Daivim Prakriti Mashitya. We have to take shelter of devotional service, Daivi Prakriti, represented by Srimati Radharani. So that service of Krishna comes down in disciplic succession. The actual disciplic succession is not simply by sitting at a fire sacrifice and taking initiation. That's not actually what the disciplic succession is. Although it's supposed to be part of the disciplic succession. It's supposed to represent the essential part, which is the instructions coming down the disciplic succession from Krishna, and especially in this age, from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, through the six Goswamis, especially Srila Rupa Goswami, in the form of the Nectar of Devotion or Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. So our activities, they're going to be devotional if they're for Krishna. And they'll be for Krishna if we're actually following the instructions by Krishna. One of those instructions, for instance, is don't think that anything in this material world is yours or mine or anyone's. It's all Krishna's. So, of course, that instruction seems very broad, and it is very broad and very easy to forget. And why is it easy to forget? Because as soon as we don't mind everything it belongs to Krishna, as long as I can enjoy it. So the center of material existence is we want to enjoy. All right, I'm very austere. I follow the four of the principles. But then the mental side of it, like profit, adoration, and distinction. This is a little bit more difficult. Am I the body? Am I the doer? Should I get credit for what I'm doing? What I'm saying, what I'm thinking, is this actually meant to be mine? The credit at least, something to enjoy. Even if I can't enjoy on the gross platform, let me get a little enjoyment on the subtle platform. It's compared to drinking water underwater, taking a bath during a fast day. It's niljal, one devotee said he always follows Niljal Ekadasi. Although he has a big feast three times a day, on Ekadasi, he doesn't take one drop of water. Therefore, he's following Niljal. But sometimes the devotees, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mentioned that during a Niljal Ekadasi, the devotees were taking the bath, they opened their mouth, and one or two drops, when they were taking a shower or throwing the water over their head, one or two drops would leak in when their mouth was open. So similarly, in this material world, subtle enjoyment is very prevalent. Even we give up the gross enjoyment, even Jarasandha was willing to give his head in charity to Krishna and Arjuna and Bhima, if somehow or another he could enjoy a little distinction, a little fame, by offering his head in charity. Of course, Krishna encouraged him by talking about King Shibi, who offered his last glass of water to a Shudra when he was just about to die from thirst, or Maharaj Ranti Devi, that was Ranti Devi. Shibi offered his body in charity to a hawk to protect a pigeon, and they got fame from that. People still talk about him in devotional circles, how generous they were. So Jarasandha thought, yes, let my name go down in history. I'll give my head if that's in charity, if that will accomplish that. So of course, we're usually not willing to offer our head, but maybe a little finger or something if we can become immortally famous. People, they'll donate huge amounts of money just to have their name on a little plaque. Somehow or another, let my false ego go on forever. Even the mentality, for instance, of this dynasty creation, just like we have our disciple succession, so in the material world, our parents want our dynasty to go on. They may not be here to enjoy it, but they'll feel good. Oh, my son and daughter, well, they're normal. They have their, our dynasty continues on and on and on and on. So this idea of giving up this false prestige, this false ego, and part of that is we want to enjoy. We want to enjoy either on the gross or subtle level, combinations and permutations of the gross and subtle material nature. So to accept that everything here is actually for Krishna's enjoyment, and then to engage in devotional service, this is called anushilana. That I'm accepting, I'm finding out what Krishna wants me to do. I accept that Krishna is the controller, Krishna is the enjoyer, and only by serving Krishna can I benefit myself and others. The more purely I serve Krishna, the more consistently I serve Krishna, the more beneficial my activities are for myself and others, because the more Krishna is there. Without Krishna, there's no question of devotion. And unless Krishna is completely there, there's no question of unalloyed devotion. It's simply a question of relatively how much Krishna is actually present. Just like we put an iron into the fire, it gets hotter and hotter and hotter. So to the extent that Krishna is present, then the iron becomes just like fire. To the extent that Krishna is there, then everything becomes Krishna eyes. Brahmarpanam brahmahaivir, brahmagno brahmahutam brahmaiva tena gantavya, brahma karma samarpanam. A person sure to attain the spiritual kingdom because it's his full contribution to spiritual activities in which the consummation is absolute and the things offered are the same spiritual nature. Everything is actually spiritual. Everyone is actually spiritual. What's material is our consciousness. Therefore, when we offer everything to Krishna, tadbuddhyas, tadatmanas, tadnishtas, tadparayanaha, gachanyapuna avritim, jnana nirduta kalmashaha. One's faith, one's mind, one one's refuge, one one's intelligence is all fixed in the Supreme, then one becomes fully cleansed by complete knowledge and thus proceeds straight on the path to self-realization. So it's a question of how much we're offering our activities, not only grossly, look at me, how nicely I'm doing my service. You know, maybe you, if you surrender to me, you can do it as nicely as I am. No, not only our activities, but even our intelligence, our faith, our refuge, the very desire to please Krishna is all fixed in Krishna. Then we become, Krishna reveals himself when he sees that we're sincere. We're actually trying to offer something to Krishna. Then to that degree, he reveals himself and we become Krishnaized. Then we become enlivened and enlightened by Krishna. And then anukulyena. Not only we should follow the disciple succession, which in itself could take many classes, how we actually know what Krishna wants us to do. Generally, we don't know what Krishna wants us to do, but we just do it anyhow, because my mind tells me, well, that's all right, just do it. And at the end, if it turns out all right, then you can offer half of it to Krishna. Go 50-50 with him. It's a business deal. Just like the person, he went to the racetrack and bet on the horse, and before he bet on the horse, he prayed to the deity, if my horse comes in first, I'll make $100,000, I'll give you half. So the horse came in second, he only made $50,000, he went back to the deity and said, my dear deity, thank you very much, my horse came in second, I made $50,000, and you took your own $50,000. So business, Prahlad Maharaj said, I'm not here for business. I'm here simply as trying to become your servant. So that attitude of service, to find out what Krishna actually wants us to do, takes, at the beginning, humility, at least admitting that in our present state, it's not always 100% clear what Krishna wants me to do. It's clear what my senses and my mind and my perverted intelligence and my false ego want me to do. It's as clear as they make it. It's as obvious and direct as my experience in material conditioned life is. But to actually think humbly, I'm not in contact with Krishna. The super soul is not speaking to me directly. Therefore, I have to humbly investigate what Krishna wants me to do through Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. And only when it's 100% clear should I act. And then when I do that, then that's pure devotional service. And it should be anukulyena. It should be pleasing to Krishna. Krishna, of course, wants our love. Love may manifest by ourselves in different ways. One of the things is reverence. If we love someone, we respect them. Reverence or appreciation or whatever else we may be able to muster. Ultimately, love is nitya siddha krishna prema sadhu kabinoi shravanadi shuddha chitti karya udai. Ultimately, love is natural. Everyone loves something. Why not love Krishna? The point is we're not very conscious of Krishna. We don't really understand Krishna very well. Therefore, we're a little suspicious of Krishna. Krishna tries to clear up the suspicion. For instance, in the 9th chapter, I'm not a bad person. All this evil going on in the material world is not really my desire. Although I may manifest it by my energies, it's really not what I want. I'm innocent. Don't blame me, please. I'm actually a nice person, although I have a bad reputation. So Krishna tries to explain how he's not the source of the evil in the material world. The source of the evil is the forgetfulness of him, although he's maybe a little embarrassed to say that. But that's the fact. That's the truth. He expects his devotees to say that. Without Krishna, there's In as much as there is Krishna, there is good, and in the absence of Krishna, there is evil. Everything is relatively good or bad according to how much Krishna is there. So Anukulyena, trying to please Krishna, trying to love Krishna, trying to be at least, at the beginning we have to be, there is enthusiasm. Develop our enthusiasm to serve Krishna. In the spiritual world, everyone is overwhelmingly enthusiastic to serve Krishna because there's so much pleasure in the service to Krishna. But now we may not find so much pleasure in serving Krishna, so that's very advanced, to be overwhelmingly enthusiastic, although sometimes we can taste that enthusiasm if we're sincere enough to perform service in the proper way. But at least the beginning, patience. Patience. Utsaha nischaya dharyat. So what does patience mean? Patience means as neophyte devotees who are on the neophyte platform, generally approaching devotional service out of distress. And what is the distress in the material world? The distress in the material world is our senses dictating to us. That's the distress. Our senses and mind hankering, lamenting. That's a distress. So to develop patience means to become aloof from the dictation, the senses in the mind. They call that proactive. That before there, we serve the impulses, we think about what is the actual proper way of approaching this situation before we react to it. Therefore, patience is required, and that's based upon our eternal nature as a soul, that there is no need to get overwhelmed by this feeling that I got to do it immediately or else I won't get a chance in the future. We'll get many chances. Even we're celibate in this lifetime and we're thinking I've made the wrong decision, don't worry, you can come back many lifetimes, have many opportunities in 8,400,000 species of life, to enjoy sense gratification, different varieties. There's no need to lament over anything. So, patience is required at the beginning. Patience, and how is that manifested? Regulating the senses. Even one is sinful if he's a little patient and simply regulates his activities, sinful activities, then gradually he'll see that it's actually distasteful. When Srila Prabhupada kicked away the pack of cigarettes that was on top of Subhadra Devi, that the deity that Shyamasundarpuru was carving, the Prabhupada said, just take one less cigarette every day. And that way gradually reduce your smoking, and after a while you'll give it up. So that's patient. And then when we discover what pious activities are, what is actually enjoyable in the material world, like nice prasadam, clean air, clean water, nice relationships with others. Then when we discover that, also to be patient in the sense that not to try to enjoy it, my enlightenment and how to enjoy the material world, but regulate our activities for Krishna. Then one will come to the platform of knowledge where one can tolerate both the joy and happiness of material existence, not becoming elated when there's happiness or depressed when there's some unpleasant circumstances that we're facing. That's called tolerance. That's another manifestation of patience. That's another manifestation of the knowledge that we're not the body, that we're a soul, and we have a higher objective in life than to enjoy the material nature. So that's all part of bhajana kriya and ultimately narta nivritti. And one who's fortunate enough to come to those two platforms, then he can become onto the liberated platform and actually accept devotional service. Their activity should actually be devotional and not for some external ulterior reason or purpose. It is not so easy to come to that platform. It takes a lot of introspection and a lot of practice, a lot of tolerance, a lot of understanding in order to actually do our activities for Krishna, to please Krishna, to actually do them as Krishna wants us to do, what he wants us to do, to actually think deeply that I'm actually, Krishna wants me to do this activity. I'm not just doing it because, well, I don't know what else to do. I'm too old to get a job, so I might as well ring the bell and wave the incense. Nothing else to do. At least they feed me for that. No, to actually be thoughtful that Krishna really wants me to ring this bell. It's not just like, you know, it wakes me up because otherwise I'd fall asleep on the altar. No, he wants me to ring the bell, and he actually enjoys it when I'm offering the incense out of love to try to please him. And when I'm actually doing it to try to please him, then my activities become actually devotional. When one comes to liberated platform means the Madhyama Adhikari platform. The first two platforms of neophyte devotee, we're trying to enjoy or we're trying to avoid suffering in the material world. And on the next two platforms, we have some awareness, some knowledge. We're trying to see things from the spiritual perspective, with spiritual intelligence, and therefore we learn tolerance. We learn how to do things for Krishna. And when that's developed to the point of liberation, when we can actually tolerate the urges of the senses and the mind, when we can give up our perverted conceptions of life, then we come to the Madhyama Adhikari platform, and then at that platform we actually love Krishna. We see loving Krishna is the most valuable thing. We may not fully love Krishna, just like one who's sick, his first business is to get free from disease, not to try to eat all kinds of healthy food in order to get healthy. That would not be a very good idea. But first thing is to get free from the sickness and then develop your bring your digestive power back to normal and then eat healthy foods to revive your body again, to bring it back to normal. So now in our sick condition, material nature, under the spell of material nature, our first business is an artha nivritti by performance of Bhajana Kriya, by associating the devotees and getting enlightened how to perform Bhajana Kriya in such a way as to get free from our various misconceptions and bad habits. Then when we come to healthy life and Madhyama Adhikari platform and actually see I can love Krishna, Krishna is actually lovable. He's the sweetest, and his devotees are as sweet as he is, if not sweeter. Then at that stage, we can see all the different devotees and try to cooperate with them. Try to actually see how they're engaged in devotional service and how I can cooperate with their service so that my service and their service become stronger. And at the same time, see the innocent, which is the purpose of the Sankirtan movement, to help the innocent become Krishna conscious, along with the other devotees. And avoid the atheists, because we're just wasting our time. Those who are envious of Krishna, if we don't have the power to make them into devotees, then they have the power to make us into non-devotees, if we don't avoid them. So Madhyama Adhikari, the very beginning of that, when we have the basic conceptions down and our service is unmotivated, we know that we're not fully engaged in devotional service. It's not unalloyed devotional service, but it becomes spontaneous because there is a taste. There is no more, or one can tolerate, as Krishna says, shaknoti haiva yaksho dum praksharira vimokshana kama krodha bhavan vegan syukta sasukinara, that one who can tolerate the urges of the senses and the mind, tolerate the urges of desire and anger and check the force of the senses, he is a yogi and he is happy in this world. So even at the Madhyama Adhikari platform, There'll be impulses arising from the senses and the mind. There'll be so many misconceptions, but one can tolerate them and go on with his service. And as that service goes on and strengthens, just like when you lift a weight, gradually you can increase your ability to do it. And then when you, just like there was one person, he was living with his brother, and he inherited half of his father's property, but his brother was bigger than him, and so one day his brother came along and kicked him off the property because he was small and weak. He went to a sage and said to the sage, my dear sage, I've just been thrown off my property that I had by my brother. Please give me your blessing. So the sage gave him his blessings. My blessings is, you'll get my blessings if every day you pick up this little calf here and jump over the fence. So he said, that's your blessings? Yes, you follow my blessings and you'll get everything you desire. So every day he picked up this little calf and jumped over the fence. In the course of 6 months, the calf had grown into a cow. And he's still picking up the cow and jumping over the fence by practice. And then one day he came to the sage and said, what should I do? He said, bring the cow to your brother. So he picked up the cow and brought it to his brother. And when his brother saw it, his brother had become so powerful, he was able to carry a cow, he fled from the scene. And he got the whole property by the blessings of the sage. So similarly, at the Madhyamanakari platform, where we're actually performing devotional service, it itself is encouraging and enlivening and enlightening. And it becomes spontaneous. That is, because we're actually tasting happiness, we simply want more and more and more of Krishna conscious happiness. One becomes greedy. So the platforms of ruchi, asakti, bhava, prema, and beyond that, they're all spontaneously achieved by the very nature of devotional service. But before that, we have to become honest. As conditioned souls, we have four defects: imperfect senses, the illusion, the tendency to cheat, and let's see, what was the other one? Vipalipsa. What's that? Mistakes. So we can't avoid mistakes, we can't avoid illusion, we can't avoid imperfect senses, but we can't avoid the tendency to cheat. So how does Srila Rupa Goswami tell us to avoid the tendency to cheat? Well, one way is becoming honest. So becoming honest means, and how does he define honesty? He defines it, we should find out what platform I'm actually on in devotional service and not pretend we're on some other platform. Then we can know the way forward. If I'm actually governed by my senses, although I'm performing devotional service, I should not declare myself as a very advanced devotee. Nor should others think myself to be an advanced devotee. We should see with transcendental discrimination and develop spiritual expertise, not blind following or falling out of our sentiment, nor dry speculation. We have to become honest by seeing things through the eyes of Scripture according to our ability to do so. We're not going to become perfect discriminating devotees all at once, but we have to try to do that. Then we can see where I'm on, what platform I'm on, more or less, and what platform others are on, and reciprocate accordingly, act accordingly, so I can come to a higher platform. And if I don't know, then that's why we have classes and we take shelter of devotees who are supposed to know. But if everyone says, oh, you're good, everything you do is perfect, if everyone's always flattering us, then the result is we become more and more illusioned. We become more and more bewildered by the illusory energy and we really don't make any progress. It's a good feel-good class. Everyone goes away, I feel good, perfect class. They didn't at all touch my false ego. My false ego is completely happy. So it's a perfect class. I stayed away because they told jokes and stories, and it was all very nice. They told me how nice I am, how nice what I'm doing is, and my full city goes happy, I'm happy, everyone's happy. What's the complaint? And we go on doing the same thing we do every day. No, first thing is, Rupa Goswami, find out what platform we're on, what platform others are on, and then try to make progress towards coming to a higher platform. And if we want to take shelter of others to help us, they should also know what platform they're on and how much they can actually help us. Otherwise, they may not be able to help us very much. If they don't know how to help, they don't know what platform they're on, they won't know how to help themselves. If they don't know what platform I'm on, they won't know how to help me either. So if I'm on the most neophyte platform, I should know I can't help others very much. Even I come to the Madhyamadhikari platform, as Prabhupada explains, even I develop discrimination, I shouldn't be too excited that I've come to the most elementary platform of actual devotional service, and now I'm going to save the whole world. Now, even the Mahabhagavat, who's fully empowered by Krishna to save the world, who's fully engaged, fully enthusiastic to do so, even he knows his limits. He doesn't think that I've become God's savior. He thinks, nimitra matram bhavasavasachin, whatever Krishna desires, that will happen. I'm simply an instrument. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions? Yes. As a trained what? A man. The man takes the role, the feminine role. Prabhupada said that if you go to a certain place in Austria to learn the violin, they ask you, how long have you been practicing the violin? And they tell you, they say, I've been practicing for 10 years. Then they charge you twice as much money. Because first they have to teach you how to forget what you've learned before they can teach you the proper way. So modern society, most of our problems come from what we've learned in the past. And most of our endeavor at first is to forget about what we learned. To give it up, not be attached to it, and then come on to learn the proper, the real thing. So we don't have, in one sense, we're not going to give up our misconceptions so easily. Now that may take some time. But if we focus our mind on taking shelter of Krishna in the proper way, as defined by our authorities, it will be much easier. Because ultimately we're not male or female. Ultimately we're just Krishna's servant. So we take shelter of Krishna, we learn how to do that, then all these other things will be naturally adjusted. But to try to become a male after being trained as a female, we may do that, but in the next lifetime we may become a female again. It will all just be a waste of time. Anything else? Yes. you know, Krishna is good, and everything besides Krishna is, anything in the absence of Krishna is evil. Krishna is 100% good, so anything less than Krishna is not, is less than 100% good. If Krishna is the source of everything, so our rebelliousness against him, which is just illusion, that's evil. So illusion is evil, and reality is good. Well, God is good, but we're evil. Our consciousness is evil. When we reject God, that's evil. So there is evil. It's a rejection of Krishna. That's evil. And the material modes of nature are this very manifestation of that. From goodness, passion, ignorance, they're just different degrees of rejecting Krishna and his directions. So the material world is bad, and Krishna is good. Material consciousness is bad, and Krishna consciousness is good. Therefore they say, well, you're good, we're all good. And Prabhupada said, no, we're good and you're bad. Your consciousness is bad if it's not in Krishna consciousness. So we have a very absolute way of looking at things. Of course, we don't tell generally people that, especially we don't. Prabhupada could do it, because people will get angry at us if we say like that. They'll say we're fanatics. But we cultivate this knowledge, and by our experience we can see that Krishna is good, and therefore forgetfulness of Krishna is bad. Anything else? Thank you very much. Yes. Take some study. Generally speaking, not only, I mean, somehow or another, these topics are generally put aside. As if, you know, everyone just naturally knows where they're at all the time. We're just like, because we're devotees, naturally everyone is, we don't even think like that. That would be offensive to actually judge anyone. Call it, oh, you're a neophyte. Ooh, a neophyte. I'm not a neophyte. I've been around so long. Don't call me a neophyte. Or I'm a neophyte. I'm bad. I'm a neophyte. I'm bad because I'm a neophyte. No, I mean, for instance, in our scriptures, who's the best neophyte devotee? The example of the best neophyte devotee? The four Kumaras. I mean, they're not really bad, are they? If you went up to the four Kumaras, oh, you're a neophyte. Yeah, I'm sorry, you know. We've been practicing for a few million years. It's difficult, you know. It's a slow process. No, they're given as the example of the neophyte, the Gyanis. And the others, the sages of Namasharanya, they were given as the Jignasu, the inquisitive. And Gajendra is given as the one in distress, and Dhruva Maharaj is given as the one who wants some material benefit. Quite exalted personalities. Prabhupada said the best of all the highest neophyte devotees is the pure Brahman. Now, who of us can say, oh, I'm a pure Brahman? I've gone beyond the pure Brahman, you know. So it takes some careful reading the scriptures and thoughtfulness, and then we can see. It's not that it's black and white, that I'm always on exactly the same level all the time. Sometimes we serve our senses because we're conditioned under certain circumstances to think in a certain way, to feel in a certain way, to do certain things. And that moment, I'm the lowest of the neophytes, hopefully at least. I'm still in the neophyte level. And sometimes we actually know how to arrange things in such a way is to make our devotional service a little bit more comfortable and a little bit more steady. And sometimes we're actually becoming inquisitive how to actually advance a little bit more. And sometimes we're actually on the liberated platform. And sometimes we may even be performing pure devotional service. So it's not necessary. We should see what the symptoms are and what from time to time where I'm actually acting on. And therefore we can try to raise our level from time of our particular in different circumstances raise the level to a higher consciousness. So it's not just a question of finding out, you know, putting a label on myself. Well, I'm a Artha Arti, therefore I should go and do business. Or I'm in distress, and therefore I should go to a massage, you know, where they have a health spa and chant my rounds there. Or I'm Jignasu, I should just... No, we should know the symptoms of a devotee on different levels and see where we're acting from time to time and then try to purify our conception. And at the same time, chant Hare Krishna, because the chanting Hare Krishna will raise us to a higher and higher platform, if not the at least the liberated platform, if we're chanting sincerely and attentively. So if we're doing that throughout the whole day, then throughout the whole day we'll be making progress. And then our advancement towards the liberated platform will be very quick. And if we're not doing that so much, if we're not really thoughtful about where my consciousness is at, either during our sadhana or in the absence of sadhana, then our advancement will be very slow. Yes, one more. From lust comes anger. From anger comes delusion. It's a very simple formula. Prabhupada said, in the Western world especially, we like to fight. Why do we like to fight? Because we're motivated by our desires, the lusty desires, either to protect what we think we have or to get what we don't really deserve. So therefore we fight with each other over sometimes very insignificant things. Kali Yuga, people will kill each other even over a penny. So that tendency will be there. But we shouldn't think, well, I'm a neophyte, and actually I should, you know, hanker and lament, and therefore I should fight with those people or those devotees. No, we have to not act as a neophyte. Our movement is based upon trying to act on the Madhyama Adhikari platform, on the liberated platform. We shouldn't think, I'm acting on a liberated platform, therefore I'm an Uttama Adhikari. But we should know, I should try to act on the Madhyama Adhikari platform, perform my services without material motivation for Krishna, according to the instructions coming by higher authorities through the disciples' succession, and it should be to please Krishna. And if we're doing that, then our relationships will become very nice. Even when we're on the neophyte platform, then very quickly we'll come to the Madhyama Adhikari platform by practicing as a Madhyama Adhikari. And if we try to do it some other way, by some course on, you know, how to win friends and influence some people, we may come to a higher level and then slip down again after we get what we're actually interested in. Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Gaur Premanande Haribol.